Hello, and welcome to Ask a Historian. I'm Matthew Wilkinson, historian with Heritage Mississauga. And for this program, we invite you to send in your questions, and we'll explore the fascinating stories of the city of Mississauga here together. For this week's program of Ask a Historian, we are welcoming Lindsay Doran, who is a coordinator for education and engagement with the Museums of Mississauga, and we'll be exploring one of my favorite things of the year, Maple Magic at Bradley Museum, which will take place on March 9th and 10th, and on March 16th, 17th. Those are the weekends, the other side of March break, at the Bradley Museum from 12 to 4 each day. For Ask a Historian, we invite you to keep sending in your questions. We'll explore the stories around the history of our fascinating city. Like, subscribe, and follow us, and stay up to date on all the heritage happenings with Heritage Mississauga. And here we go. Let's talk about maple syrup. Thank you, Lindsay, for joining us here on Ask a Historian to highlight one of my favorite things of the year, things that are maple syrup. I love the season and the welcoming of spring. And so Maple Magic, as we know, returns to the Museums of Mississauga. Can you tell us about this year's event? What can people look forward to with Maple Magic?
Yeah, so much like years past, if you come to Bradley Museum for Maple Magic, you will get a chance to get a tour that will take you through the whole process of making maple syrup from start to finish. We will also have pancakes with real maple syrup for visitors to taste. For any kids that are coming, we have a puppet show that is running 4 times a day out of the log cabin. It is a delightful show filled with songs and nursery rhymes called Pin Pin the Explorer, about a penguin hatching and exploring the space around him.
Okay.
You'll also get a chance to see inside the Bradley House and take part in some historical heritage demos. You can sample freshly made maple taffy, go home with a craft, do a scavenger hunt around the site to learn a little bit more about how maple syrup production is affected by climate change. And everyone who completes the scavenger hunt will get a chance to win a number of different maple themed prizes. If you're looking to buy some maple goodies, you can check out our maple gift shop. And depending on what weekend you come, we have some other special activities. So this coming weekend, the 9th and the 10th, we will have PAMA, the Peel Museum and Archives, on site doing an outreach for their suitcase project, which is a project related to Japanese Canadians in World War II, which connects to our current exhibit, which you could also look about Broken Promises, which is also about the Japanese Canadian experience during World War II. On March 10th, we will have a live fiddle and guitar duo playing music throughout the day. And if you come for the second weekend, the 16th and 17th, we'll have Elder Mark Salt, sorry, from the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, who will be working with his team to cook a number of traditional dishes that we'll be sharing with the public.
I'm assuming the key ingredient being maple sugar or maple syrup.
There's a definitely maple sweetness in just about everything we do for Maple Magic.
And just to reflect there on the exhibits, I hadn't connected to that in my thought process, but the Broken Promises speaks, of course, to the Japanese Canadian experience and just something that's near and dear to my heart, something I've always been interested in and fascinated by. And we have some interesting Mississauga connections to that story as well.
Yeah, and so if you visit, you get the kind of larger picture from the traveling exhibit we brought in from the Nakai Museum, but we also have a number of panels talking about the direct connection to Mississauga.
So, just the event. I've always been a fan of Maple Magic. Like over the years, I think I brought my kids down every year. We've been able to come, and can you tell us a couple of stories? I'm always fascinated with kind of the idea that maple syrup connects cross-cultural, across time, in a sense. And can you tell us some stories? You know, just select a couple of highlights from yourself. Just the stories that people may not know about maple syrup.
It's always one of the interesting things about talking about maple syrup is this idea, like you imagine who the first person must have been that saw a clear liquid coming from a tree and not only thought, oh, I could eat this, but if I put it over heat and I remove most of the water, it's going to turn into something completely different. that is going to be really enjoyable and in our case eventually become like a part of the like Canadian cultural experience. Of course, we know about maple syrup because it was the First Nations communities that discovered it and taught it to settlers. I think for me, the kind of most interesting thing about maple syrup that most people kind of leave the event with is the fact that it wasn't actually maple syrup that they were making a ton of in early time periods, but in fact, maple sugar. You were removing all of the water to make a solid sugar, which would be pressed into blocks or small molds or even like fancy molds. We have a wooden beaver-shaped mold that would make a beaver-shaped piece of maple sugar here. Because when you remove the water from maple, it's actually never going to go bad. So maple syrup, you'll know if you don't refrigerate it, eventually it's going to grow some mold. It might start to, if you leave it sealed and not refrigerated, it might start to turn into an alcohol. Essentially, the sugars are going to convert, which I mean, maybe you like, maybe you don't like, but when you remove the water, that maple sugar is going to last forever. It's not going to go bad, so it's easier to store. And when you look at census records from the 1800s, one of the products you see being produced at farms across Ontario, even in Mississauga, is maple sugar. It is a actually large thing that's being exported out and has its own kind of really fascinating and interesting connections. Specifically in the late 1800s, or sorry, early to late 1800s, the anti-slavery movement, because white sugar or cane sugar was produced using enslaved labor, which means that if you purchased it, you were taking part in that system of enslavement. And so a number of people who had beliefs against enslavement, who were anti-enslavement, would actually choose to only either make or use maple sugar as part of their belief system.
I think it's a fascinating way to look at a broader history through maple sugar, maple syrup. I think those links are always fascinating to connect with. And I mean, my picture of maple syrup going to all the festivals, of course, is you're boiling over the fire and kind of what's the right word? Reducing the water content as you go. But all the different ways that it's been made over time, particularly with Indigenous traditions, is quite fascinating.
It is. And it's what I think people also kind of find interesting is even the modern maple syrup production, which is produced now in evaporators. I always like to tell people, think of it like a large metal bathtub, essentially. A lot of times evaporators are actually still powered by fire, not propane and not electricity, because it would be too expensive to heat evaporators with either of those two sources. So even in a modern context, even though it's made with modern technology, syrup is still often made with wood fire, essentially.
Very cool. You mentioned some of the early census records are referencing maple sugar. What do we have any stories or traditions around the harvesting here in historic Mississauga? Like, do we have stories that are passed down, say, from the Bradley family or others that reference this harvesting of seasonal harvesting?
We don't have any stories specifically connected to the Bradleys, although if you read some of the early history books, especially the ones that are a little bit more narrative stories of communities, like the story of Clarkson, we see some narrative versions of this idea of maple sugar, which sugaring, they would have called it, which was essentially something that all of the families did together. So during the season, which would have typically been in March for them, it would be early days and late nights going out, everyone working together, the kids collecting the sap, carrying the sap back through the snow to the fire where the older adults and family members would be chopping wood, keeping a boiling fire, watching the pot to keep it from boiling over so you didn't lose all of that sap, and then bringing it down to the sugar, and of course getting to enjoy fresh maple taffy or fresh maple syrup as the treat. Yep. So we can actually see in some family letters from Mississauga, from the McGraw family specifically, that they were visiting the Mississaugas of the Credit at the Credit Mission Village during sugaring season and learning a little bit of that. So we see the reference in and out. We know that there were some families in Mississauga who were running sugar bushes in properties in Meadowvale, is a specific reason where we have the Simpson family we know had a sugar bush running throughout the 1830s. The Whaley farm in Meadowvale as well. We have some evidence in Cooksville, the Price family. These are all kind of from census documents and records we see. So we know people were sugaring sometimes on a large scale, sometimes on a small scale in the season.
I find that fascinating. And you referenced a couple of things that jumped in my mind here is you referenced earlier climate change, and we know that's impacting us in a broad scale on in just our surrounding environment and the season. Heck, I've only shoveled my driveway, I think, three times this year. But the impact it must have, you reference how that, you know, March was typically, in all my life, March was maple syrup season, right? Like right around March break. But how does climate change impact maple syrup? Because I know it's temperature related, and I can imagine that presses provide some challenges.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, there's big impacts from climate because maples are actually really sensitive trees. That's the reason why they sugar maples, the type of maples that we use to make maple syrup, they only really successfully grow in Ontario, Quebec, and the kind of same matching regions within the United States. They don't successfully grow anywhere else. They need the like kind of almost perfect climate setting. We need to have enough rain in the summer, but not too much rain. They need enough sun in the summer, but not too much sun, because too much sun and they'll get scalded. They'll get essentially upset. They get too hot. When we talk about winters, we want some snow cover and frozen ground on the winter so the trees don't get confused by up and down weather, so they get enough water. And then when it comes time for spring, we need specific conditions. We need the nights to go below zero and the days to come up above zero. And we need that kind of consistent pattern. So this thing we have now where we'll get an early spring or maybe early spring for a couple of weeks and then back to winter, or a few warm days and then cold days, but no kind of in between, makes it really difficult to not only collect sap, but collect a good amount of sap. So for example, today, very warm day. We don't have any sap running in our trees right now because last night was only 7 or 8 degrees. So we often think about maple season being in March, but from a modern perspective, most commercial producers tap their trees at the end of January, beginning of February this year, as soon as those days started getting warmer, because we also need to tap our trees before the trees grow buds. Sap is used to grow the leaves on the trees. So already we have two of our maples over by our fire pit, our silver maples, they're already fully budded. There would be no point in tapping those trees. And when climate change creates a system where we have weather that is inconsistent, that goes from one extreme to another, the trees and other plants start to bud way earlier than they normally would and affect the system. And I'm sure people have seen it this year too. They're walking out in January or even December and seeing like flowers popping out or buds on trees. And when you're like, oh no, it's not the season yet. So we really, there is a lot of kind of impacts from climate change. And for modern syrup production, part of that is like looking at new ways of collecting sap, which are more efficient. The Canadian government actually, not Canadian government, sorry, the Ontario government just announced some different supports for local businesses to invest in more technology in maple groves to kind of support more consistency in collection, we'll say, using some newer tech and newer scientific ideas.
It's just fascinating. I mean, we do think of these things like climate change in the broad scale and all everything we hear or read and whatnot. We know it's a real thing, despite what some people might shout about. But thinking it in terms of just the impact of something we take for granted is you know, maple syrup. It's always at on the shelf. You can all, you know, like it's going to have long range of the impacts. And I find that fascinating. So
it is. And we talked a little bit about maple stories earlier. This isn't an Ontario maple story, but it's one of my favorite kind of maple stories. People don't know, like the biggest producer of maple syrup in Canada, in the world actually, is Quebec. So they hold basically a massive maple syrup surplus because, you know, seasons are going to be inconsistent. They always have a lot kind of tucked aside if there's a bad season, so people can still get maple syrup, which was stored in warehouses. And about a decade ago, there was this massive maple syrup heist over a number of weeks. They stole barrels. They left empty barrels in the place, stole the full barrels, and actually sunk them on the bottom of the St. Lawrence River to hide them. So that they could go back, and they got caught. Like, so, but they ended up, the people behind it ended up stealing like millions of dollars worth of maple syrup, which when you think of $1 million heist, maple syrup is not necessarily the thing, you're thinking of.
Canada's liquid gold.
It is. Other like fun maple facts are, I mean, there's plenty, but I guess my other main favorite maple fact is the fact that aside from the US, which is the number one country we export maple syrup to, the next country in line is actually Germany.
Really?
Apparently the Germans country, as people really, really love maple syrup.
Maybe it goes with the sausages. I don't know. Well, so let's jump back with the program this year. Again, it runs the weekends of March 9th, 10th, and March 16th, 17th at the Bradley Museum,
yes,
which is 1620 Orr Road, but you have a shuttle service this year.
Yeah, this year new, we have a free shuttle service running from the Clarkson GO station. So if you're coming from that area, you can pick up the shuttle. It's on the south side of the GO station, right beside the very large parking structure. You will see a temporary My Way Mississauga My Bus System stop with a sign for Maple Magic, and you will get a free ride from there to the museum. It's leaving every half hour starting at 11:45. It's going to drop you off right at the foot of the Bradley property, and you can pick up the shuttle from the same place to head back to Clarkson GO. Anyone who's been on our site before, if you're new, you'll know we don't actually have any parking directly on the museum site. So it's all parking on the road otherwise. So if you want to save yourself a walk, you should definitely take advantage of the free shuttle.
Brilliant to have something. I've long wondered how we could do it. So I'm glad to see that it's been implemented for this. And you did mention the shuttle times, but we didn't mention the event times. Again, both Saturday and Sunday, 9th, 10th, and 16th, 17th, from 12 to 4, right?
Yes, 12 to 4. Tickets can be pre-purchased online at Ticketweb. So you can either jump to the Maple Magic website, which you can find on the Museums of Mississauga webpage. Yep. There's a ticket link there, or you can go to Ticketweb, ticketweb.com, search out Bradley Museum, and you will find the tickets there.
Awesome. And what else is going on? You mentioned the exhibits that are on with the Museums of Mississauga. I mean, the museums are open for business, for lack of a better word, outside of Maple Magic as well. What are just a couple things that you have going on with the museums that people might also be engaged with?
Yeah, so we have on March 23rd, so the Saturday after Maple Magic, we are doing our tea and tour program at Benary's Historic House, which is going to actually be a maple-themed tea. You get a lovely tea and a tour. During March break, we have a camp for kids called Camp Sugar Shack, which is a pre-registered program. So that's something people can look into for next year if they were interested. Coming up in pretty much the rest of March through to the spring, we have a number of other pre-registered programs occurring at Bradley and Benary's as well, all of which can be found on Active Mississauga. We have a program called Teacup Tinker, where you can come and turn a old teacup into something new. We have a couple of heritage cooking programs running where you get a chance to come on site and cook a couple of dishes on the wood stove or on the hearth, some more teas as well coming in the next few months. In addition to the exhibits we have on site at Bradley and Benary's, we also just have our traveling exhibit, We Are Resilient, which is all about climate change. It's gone up at Square One Mall in Mississauga. So if you're in Square One, you can pop by and take a look at that and learn about, in general, how Mississauga is dealing with climate change and what you can do to work towards a better environment for all of us, essentially.
Yep. And it's a good thing to reflect on. I mean, as much as, you know, maple syrup is a Canadian identity in a sense, I mean, it is impacted by climate change as well. And so the next time we're pouring that on our favorite dish on the weekend, perhaps, let's reflect as well that the continued challenges that climate change presents. But with that, Lindsay, thank you. I wish you all the success. I know you're probably going to be exhausted come the 18th, but I wish you well with Maple Magic. And for anyone listening, go check out the Museums of Mississauga for Maple Magic. It is a great annual tradition here in the city of Mississauga. So thank you, Lindsay, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for spending some time with us here at Ask a Historian. And thank you also to Lindsay Doran from the Museums of Mississauga for exploring the Maple and sharing the Maple Magic event at Bradley Museum with us. Again, the event takes place on March 9th and 10th and on March 16th and 17th at the Bradley Museum. That is at 1620 Orr Road in Mississauga. It's an annual tradition and it will run those 2 weekends from 12 to 4 each day. And remember, there's a free shuttle from the Clarkson Go. So again, thank you for joining us and spending some time with us here, and hope you enjoy the maple syrup season and have a chance to visit Maple Magic with the Museums of Mississauga. And we'll see you on future episodes of Ask a Historian.